This is the latest disclosure in a report from National Civil Defense Headquarters in Washington. It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life.
Welcome to Dead Radio.
We're not doing that.
How did she come to have sex with the dead man?
Don't call me Radio Unit 91.
You're a dead man. You're a dead man!
He's God here in this radio station.
Place where the dead speak.
Rebel Radio!
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead?
You ever think about doing radio?
My team is dead!
But you're not crazy. You're me. And this is just radio.
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Perfect. Better than the shit I do to him. All right. Episode 102 in full effect.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Yes. Very happy to have Shadow Witch with us this week.
Shadow Witch.
We got Earl to my left.
Hi, kids.
And then the blurry guys.
That's what we call them at home.
You guys want to go around and introduce yourselves? Because I've forgotten everyone's names.
Yeah. Sure. So we got Earl. We know Earl.
Yeah.
Everybody knows
He's
Earl.
The fuzzy one.
Was a bear.
And next to Adam, we have... No, you.
Me? Oh. I'm the bald one.
That's Adam. Oh, yeah, that's right. The bald guy.
I'm Dave. I play bass.
All right. The young guy.
Hey, I like that. Jeremy, I play guitar.
All right. And the dad.
I'm Doug, and I play drums.
All right.
Papa Beans.
Now,
Papa Beans.
We first saw you guys... I'm going to go right into it.
Please.
First saw you guys open for Corrosion of Conformity and Mothership at The Chance. We walked in right as you guys started. Very happy to see a solid stoner rock band. Yeah. I don't know if you guys hate that term or whatever.
No,
I know
no.
some guys are kind of like funny about that, but
no.
I was like, God damn, finally. There's been a couple in the past, but I was really stoked to see you guys, man. It was a really great show.
Thank
and,
you.
You sounded a hell of a lot better than Corrosion of Conformity did.
Yeah. Really?
You know?
Some
people say that.
Yeah.
I love that band. They're awesome, but they got to shoot their sound guy. It was just loud and just muddy.
Yeah. The bass, the drums were just gone. It was all guitar and... I was saying to him, you know, Corrosion of Conformity, Woody, he's got that kind of changly style, like, I don't want to say sloppy, just loose as shit, playing style, and it was just like, I just can't hear the drums, and it was driving me fucking insane, because you guys sounded good, Mothership sounded good, and then Corrosion of Conformity, and I looked over and I saw this kid, he was probably 21, maybe. Running doing the seven. Soundboard, and
really?
I was like, oh, whose kid is doing the soundboard? Which one of you brought your fucking offspring? Shit. Fuck that. So, you guys are out of Kingston. How long you been around? Because I'm sorry, but I didn't check the formed in thing on your Facebook. When did you guys first start?
Early 2015.
Oh, God, so you're just pretty much...
Right?
Yeah, we're a new band.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you said early 2015?
I thought it was... April, May?
Hey, guys, just for future, you got to be
on
there, Mike. Sorry about that.
Yeah, somewhere on there, right? That's what I thought. It was still cold out, I know that.
Yes.
It was about a year before the COC show, was when we first started like playing together.
First started jamming.
Just started. We didn't play our first gig until the fall of that year.
Because I was jamming with Jeremy and Anthony for probably about maybe a month. And then that's when Earl came in and started throwing down some vocals.
Yeah.
That's when all the magic started happening.
Well, that's cool, man. Like, it's just refreshing to see. I felt like an asshole when I, you know, I was like, man, this is cool. I forgot because, you know, I got, I just got this house, so I'm just getting stuff started around here.
Well, it's very nice.
Yes, it is very nice house.
I decorated it, this part, myself.
it's very colorful.
But, you know, I just, I got to a, I used to be at the Chance every fucking weekend. I knew, you know, all these different bands and knew to go see, not to go see, right, all this stuff. Right. And then all of a sudden just shit, you know, career and all, and house and wife and everything took over.
It does.
And I'm not going out as much and seeing all these bands.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I saw you guys, I went, fuck me, I'm an idiot. I'm just stupid.
Well, you like, came to the right show.
I know. But yeah, it was a cool time. You guys are picking up quite a bit of steam, man. I see a lot of you guys sharing a lot of press on, and
we you know, when the when the record came out, we got much more press than we thought we would.
Yeah,
I mean, it really was shocking. I mean, because, you know, we're new band, hadn't really played very much at all, and then all of a sudden we're getting reviews from Holland and Belgium and you know, Northern Europe, and it was kind of staggering, really. It was very humbling to have that kind of attention, considering, you know, we made the record in our rehearsal studio with a friend who's an engineer who had a space next door to our rehearsal studio in the same building.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So
Matthew Collin.
Yeah, Matthew. Shout out.
Yes.
So, yeah, so it was great. I mean, it was wonderful, wonderful press.
Huh. That's great, guys.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, just that's kind of how it works, though, right? With bands, I don't know how many, like, if you guys have been in bands a lot, I'm assuming you are.
Oh, yeah.
I was in a handful, and it just all of a sudden you start jamming with one guy, and he knows another guy, and then all of a sudden you're making a half-assed record, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, but, I mean, to get something out of it, I mean, the last band I was in, man, I worked my ass off, and we were together over 8 years, and, you know, put out two solid releases, and within the first month of releasing the Shadow Witch record, we had more press in a month than I ever got in 8 years. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So
sometimes it just clicks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hit the right mm-hmm. note. You know.
Yeah, I'm not too deep in the whole metal scene myself, but I do like I said, I like, you know, I like Clutch and Corrosion of Conformity, Caius. You guys remind me a lot of Caius. Sure. I love Caius. Yeah, Caius, one of my favorites ever.
One of my favorites.
And it was just, I keep saying refreshing, but nowadays it seems like a lot of hard rock.
Sounds the same.
It all sounds the same. It's very over. It's very produced. Heavily produced. Mm-hmm. They all, you know, got nice haircuts and tight clothes and
tight
everything
chest.
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
The only reason why our clothes are tight is because we got to lose a couple pounds.
Yeah. that works in the stoner scene. Right? It's like stoner means chips. Right? Chips and beer. So, speaking of which, yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And on the other side, you know, the alternative stuff is, you know, it's different now. It's mostly synthy and kind of it's more poppy than anything.
Whiny.
And, you know, yeah. I've been able to pick up on some stuff that's cool, but for the most part, it's just really kind of mellow. And then, you know, and metal is very much soaked in the 80s style hair metal nowadays. And so I'm just like, I'm boxed out a lot of stuff. So
yeah,
when I hear a band that just, it's almost like a classic sound nowadays is weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got all these bands that are trying to emulate a shit ton of other bands and creating this weird new sound, and then all of a sudden all the other bands are starting to do that same sound.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Sabbath sounding stuff out there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's just going to be the way it is.
I think there always will be.
but it's kind of like within the stoner scene, it's like the first ingredient almost with most of those bands has to be Sabbath. It's just when the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth ingredient are also Sabbath. Yeah. then maybe it's not so great.
Right, but, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we like to do a little segment here called What Are You Drinking? And I know that you guys are just drinking water,
water.
You get to sit out on this one.
I better get a better beer.
Adam bought a ton of beer, so you guys,
I'm just
feel free.
It all.
Feel free to drink and then drive home. Very good. It'll be epic. I'll get sued. It'll be fantastic. We'll be all over the news. You think it got pressed then?
Yeah, local podcast kills people.
Well, how long is this podcast going to be? Because I could drink a beer.
It's probably an hour, but depending on how it goes, we all go right. Like 2 and 3 hours.
Yeah, I can drink a beer.
What would you like?
Yes.
You guys too, man.
I've got a Pilsner. Let me get a Pilsner, please.
Sure thing. There we go.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I got here, I'll start with me. I'm doing straight gin.
Oh,
yeah. Damn.
What's your poison there?
Thank you.
Well, I was in the liquor store, and I have a mortgage, so I was looking at the bottom shelf.
Yes, I'm in the same boat.
And I saw this. It's called Boomsma, and it's from Holland.
Hey, they started the whole gin thing.
Mm-hmm. Was it Holland or was it English?
No, English gin. Originally, gin that was in England was called Old Tom.
Mm-hmm.
But no, and it was sweeter, more like the original Holland gin.
Mm-hmm.
But no, gin, it started off being called Genevieve.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. Oh, okay. Because I think there's a gin out there called that.
That probably is.
Fuck. Yeah, whatever. Just go ahead.
But yeah, Holland is the birthplace, I believe, of gin.
Yeah.
The English made it famous.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But, you know, Winston Churchill famously saying, supposedly, during the war, when he couldn't get vermouth to put in his martini, that he would lean or bow in the direction of Paris when he mixed his martini, which was just basically drinking a glass of gin.
So. There you go.
So yeah, I'm giving away my history. I might drink gin myself, kids.
Well, these guys, yeah, product of the Netherlands. It's fucking great, man. It's a it's a solid gin. A lot of juniper, not much other weird ass flavors.
Right.
I had this. Right. I mean, there's a couple good ones out there that like to mix a bunch of different shit.
It says
in
right
there.
On the back, it's young Jennifer gin.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
See,
very nice.
See? I only half pay attention to everything. But yeah, it's just balance. A lot of the newer stuff they like to experiment with. Like
they're going crazy with some of these things.
Rose hips and all that crazy shit. And I mean, sometimes it's pretty good, and sometimes it tastes really bad. Like the one I got, when I was in Salem, I found a local gin,
mm-hmm.
and I brought it to the counter, and the guy was like, "You like gin?" I'm like, "Yeah, I love gin."
I'm
expecting him to say, "You're gonna love this," but he's just like, "Just." You're probably not going to like it. I'm like, how dare you? I didn't like it.
You don't know me.
It was not good. Yeah, they just
you like to, gin, you're going to hate this.
They put like rose hips and mace. Like,
oh, Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, man, this it was really good. Rough. You like? Mm-hmm. Are you anybody else gin guys?
It's the dumbest glass to drink out of.
I'm a bourbon man myself.
I'm a gin guy.
You are? You think you can
yeah,
run
I can
up and
grab
a
glass.
Me?
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah,
he's not driving.
Make me a sandwich while you're up there too.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, no, a good gin is. Yeah, I like English style dry gin.
Yes, good man.
Yes,
me too.
Yes,
not a lot of people like that kind of shit. They go for the sweeter shit.
Yeah, they're wrong. That's all there is to it.
So, what are you drinking, Earl?
I am drinking a delicious Captain Lawrence IPA.
The pride of Elmsford, New York.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Hmm.
I get them mixed up sometimes.
Right?
I don't know.
Down near Peekskill, I think.
Well, let me tell you, it is delicious.
I just recently found out that the guy who, he lives on the street called Captain Lawrence something Road or something. That's what he named the brewery after.
Oh, really?
Supposedly. That's what somebody told me at work. So.
Well, I'm going to try this.
Do you want a little splash or of water or are you straight up? I'm going to dog it.
Raw dog it.
Yeah, see, that tastes like gin.
I hope so.
No, believe me, it sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Pretty
it's
decent,
good.
Right?
This is very nice, yeah.
$22.
You know, I will tell you the secret, my go-to gin on the budget is New Amsterdam.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Because it's like...
It comes in a $20...
It's a $20 giant bottle.
Giant handle.
Yeah,
$20.
I've been doing Crystal Palace because it's even
cheaper
than that.
Boy.
That stuff is
I don't
rough.
Even know what that is.
What are you, 18?
It is, it's $10, it's $10 for that same
yes.
jug.
Oh, man.
On that note, I will shout out to one of our favorite hosts, hostesses at our local venue, The Anchor. Francis is a Crystal Palace. He drinks it straight.
Ooh.
So hey, Francis. How you doing?
He must hate his stomach.
Oh, he hates his guts. He hates his guts. That Franny.
So we did Captain Lawrence, and you two are drinking
the Mermaid Pilsner from Coney Island Brewing.
Mm.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah, this is a good go-to if you're just like getting into decent beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. American Pilsner. Very nice.
I actually have this tin hanging up in my mudroom at my house.
Oh, yeah?
They have very good... their artwork's very cool.
Yeah.
For their beers. That's the one... turn that one?
The mermaid?
That's the one Jess gets.
Yeah.
Because of the picture. Because
she's attracted to the cartoon
in
the front. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, that one simple. Looks like a good one.
So I have a question.
Boys,
why?
Don't drink. Yeah, see?
Who's going off?
Sitting over there.
I'm going to kill you.
It's silence now.
I have a question for you, gentlemen. Why do you feel that it's necessary to use pagan imagery with your music?
Earl really likes to do that.
Yeah, it's sort of my fault. How much time you got here?
Did you see that guy on Instagram today who was asking if it was a giant dildo?
Yes, I did, and I answered him.
It's a sword.
It's my stupid friend in Baltimore.
He's so
stupid that he moved to Baltimore.
Did you see the answer I gave him?
I did.
Yeah, that it's a broadsword.
Well, no, it's like that. I don't recommend it as a dildo. because it is old, but it's hard and pointy, and that's what she said.
Well, we got this for that.
Oh, very nice.
Nice. Thank you.
We had a guest, or we not a guest? Jesus, we had a regular staple, part time.
Yeah, Jesus as a guest.
Jesus was here.
What?
Yes, Jesus was here, and he said, that's what she said, too often. It made me so fucking angry that I had to find a different way.
He knew many, many Marys, so, you know, she said a lot of things, I guess.
He wasn't turning water into cold Coors Light?
So we have the bell for any kind of sexual innuendo.
All right,
so just hit that.
So do you really want to know about pagan imagery, or was it just
a
throw-out question? No.
He was trying to make it sound like he didn't approve.
No, but we do every year around on the solstice, we do it, well, every year, twice now, since the show's been running. We do a mass spectacular. It's Keeping Christ Out of Christmas. We have a sticker. Where's the sticker?
Where'd it go?
All right. Anyway. But yeah, we
can't see stickers on radio.
But yeah, we're big. Like, I would say, I don't know. We're just, I'm like, I used to be kind of like, man, it's your thing, whatever. Now I'm just like, the older I get, the more militant I'm starting to be when it comes to the whole.
No offense to anybody,
but I don't know if you guys are.
I just think as far as churches go, they should pay their fucking taxes like everybody else, and then we wouldn't have a fucking national debt.
Yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, they own a lot of property.
Mega churches,
they own a shitload of property, and those
they have a loyal fan base.
Oh,
yes, very loyal,
die hard.
God, yeah, if we could get that many listeners. We would rule the entire podcast world.
I know I sinned, Jesus. I know I sinned, and I know I got caught with that prostitute. But he forgave me, and so if y'all would just keep on sending me money, because I had to settle that out of court.
Popoff? Is that who that was?
Or what the hell is his name? Peter Popoff? Is that the guy?
He popped one too many off.
So, yeah, you... is it just like you like the imagery? Do you feel good about it?
I know it's kind of a thing within like the stoner rock community. It's like everybody's like going, "Hail Satan!"
Yeah, you know, and you have to your band name has to be just completely illegible.
Well, right, made out of sticks. Right? But no, you know, it's
dark imagery is cool.
Dark imagery is cool. I grew up, you know, we all in high school like had scribbled shit on our notebooks, right? Mm-hmm. You know.
That S sign right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just I collect things. I've always had a lot of bones around and stuff. And,
oh yeah,
and
it's not weird at all.
No.
Hey Earl, how you doing, man?
It's those. It's, you know, people don't object to the bones so much as they object to the flesh-eating beetles that just land on them when you're not expecting it. It's like, why do you have flesh-eating beetles around here, Earl?
You one of those guys who have an apothecary cabinet?
No, I don't actually. I was just going with it, but. but no, I mean, like when we're gonna try to make an image for the band, and I knew that this girl was coming over and she was gonna take her clothes off, and I just started thinking about what kind of props I had, and we already had the name, the Shadow Witch name was there, so
yeah,
you know, I pulled out all my shit. I had, you know, pulled out like 15,000 candles and a witch's broom and a wand and a crystal ball and a couple of skulls and.
And a broadsword.
and I actually made the antler, the crown, like the day before. I was like, oh, what if I made a crown to go with a witch? And
it's very crafty, so hard rocking guy.
I'm a very crafty individual.
Yes.
We should like meet up for Halloween or something. It sounded like it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I saw that you had one of one of our blacklight pictures up there.
When we have guests, I usually try to find embarrassing pictures of them. But I made like a jab at the pagan imagery in the Facebook post. So I was just like, all right, let me find the most, you know, I wanted to get the Sun Killer album artwork up so everybody knows. But I saw that one where you guys in the blacklight paint. Mm-hmm. And that was on Halloween or around Halloween.
Special shows.
Looked so too fucking cool not to put up. So I dug that a lot.
That's a little fetish of mine as well. Mm-hmm. I really like blacklight, and I mean, you know, because it's you know, this shamanistic thing. If you do it right, you can use it like you're in the fucking cave. You know, you turn off all the lights, and with blacklights, if you do it right, the only thing people see is what you want them to see.
Yeah.
You know, the other stuff disappears a little bit, or at least recedes in the background. Mm-hmm. I mean, with real black light tubes, and one of the best shows I ever played in my life, it was a Halloween show. This is years ago, and it was a freak snowstorm. Maybe you guys remember that year.
On Halloween, yeah.
It was like the whole Hudson Valley was a blackout practically, and we were at a bar, we were set up, we were about to go on stage. And the fucking power went out. And luckily, the guy in the basement of the joint found a generator. So the only lights in the whole venue were the black lights on the stage.
Oh, that's sick. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to put candles on the bar so they could serve. And so it was black as...
Sounds like my kind of club.
It was black as pitch in there, except for everything I'd painted with black light. So it was really... ridiculous. I mean, it really was like, you know, an altered experience, and that's what I try to aim for.
And it adds to the performance as well.
Oh fuck! Yeah. Oh yeah! Right? You can't help but feel different when you're in a situation like that.
Yeah, I love that kind of. I love
or sweating with those costumes on.
Yeah.
You imagine what Guar is like.
Oh my god!
I'll pass.
I was trying to explain Guar to my wife. Like we were talking about, I can't remember who we were with when we were talking about it. She was like, "Wait, what?" I was just talking about like the rubber suits and everything. She said, "Wait." I'm like, I just turned to her and I'm like, "They have a worm on stage that they feed people to." She was like, "What?" They spray you with blood and cum and everything under the everything they fucking have, and she's just like. And they play at the chance.
Yeah, I tried to explain that to my girlfriend as well. And she's like, looks at me strange. I'm like, they're great. They're great.
I think I'll stay home now and Dave. Stay home.
I always find it amazing. Whenever they do play the chance, it's usually the coldest day of the year. So when you leave and you're all soaking wet with all the crap they've been spraying on you.
Yeah, now it's frozen.
I've walked with a frozen shirt to my car. Because I've been soaked.
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody know if they're still going to do their thing after
the death?
What was his name again? I always forget his
Odorous.
Name.
Odorous. Or David Brock. Brock.
Yeah, he's a good guy, man.
You knew him? Or you met him?
Yeah.
Knew him?
The old band that I played with, we played with them a lot.
Yeah.
Into the microphone, Doug.
Into the microphone.
There you go.
Ooh.
That's all I've ever heard about him. Bands that have been to the Chance that have played with him, they're like, dude, the guys are just the most gracious, you know, cool guys.
Yeah, they're pretty chill.
I wonder if they keep doing that.
That's back in the day with Guar Woman and when they first started.
Oh, Flymenstra Hyman.
They came up and played City Gardens with us. I was in a band called Murphy's Law.
And you were in Murphy's Law?
Oh, yeah. Well,
get the fuck out of here, really?
That's why
I got gray hair, man.
Oh, my God.
So they came out, the Guar comes out, and all the skinheads are spitting on them, and, you know, they're pumping mayonnaise, you know. He's jerking off, you know, they're pumping the Hellmann's, you know, or whatever. The throwing blood and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. And back then they were from Antarctica and stuff like that. And then we played in Europe with them, and they put Jimmy in the meat grinder. It was awesome. We're all covered in blood for 3 days, walking around Europe like, what's about it with these red people?
Oh, man, that's fucking great.
Yeah, that's
fantastic.
Really, really good times with them. Really good guys, man.
That's cool. Yeah, I got tickets to see Rammstein in June at Jones Beach. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
That's very cool.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Jones Beach.
America. They're back. But I've always, when I was a kid and I'm getting into, I was into like grunge and everything for the most part, even though I was way, you know, I was too young kind of fully get into the whole thing. And I was really very much against bands like Slipknot, Mudvayne, Mushroomhead, the masks and the whole spiel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But meanwhile, I'm also listening to Pink Floyd and Jimi Hendrix, and, you know, all these other guys that used to dress up and do a freaking show.
Yeah.
Finally, I caved in and went, well, they're just doing their own thing, so fuck it. So then I started appreciating the, you know, the stage performance more. Tool is another one with their imagery. Yeah. But, there's different ways of doing it, I guess. Tool's got the more artistic version. Rammstein Guar's got the more shock.
Yeah. It can be a crutch. For sure, it can be a crunch.
Yeah, that's what I've always said about it. You know, and we had a whole conversation about that exact thing of, would you be popular if you didn't do that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then the question becomes, did you just do it to get popular so that you could get your stuff out there? And is that a valid reason to do it? Or did you just do it because you're not really good enough to be on the level that you are?
Mm.
You know?
If somebody saw us do Blacklight and said, you know what, if you guys did Blacklight every time you play, I'd sign you right now. Mm. I don't know about you guys, but
you'd do it.
Get ready, fuckers
would be playing in the dark.
Get ready for the darkness. Get ready for the fucking darkness, man. I mean, come on. Yeah. You know, I mean,
it's rock and roll. It's a show,
right? Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know. I mean, we don't do it all the time because.
It's a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
you know,
and
when you're, you know,
it's mainly Earl setting it all up.
I mean, we have actually talked about this a little bit. You know, the idea that I thought, well, fuck it. No, I really like doing it because it takes me someplace else. I like, you know, I like the shamanism thing. It's like, what if I just had, like, I could build this little thing that was just around me and I could do Blacklight and these guys could do their normal shit, you know, just so that I could do it, you
like
know.
A little capsule?
A little capsule.
Yeah. Like in Spinal Tap.
Right, exactly.
I'm kind of picturing like a metal detector, you know what I mean? That kind of box, black lights.
The thing where you raise your hands?
Not necessarily. But just like a box like that with all the black lights in it, and he just stands in there and does his thing, and everybody else is just kind of normal playing their music around them.
You got it. That's sort of what I had.
You know,
Oh, like Genesis in the old days. Like the band's all in white, and Gabriel's in black, and Gabriel's out there with makeup on, and they're just sitting back, all sitting down in chairs, going like, "What the fuck?"
You could take it a step further and just be like in the pit, like the orchestra pit in front, and then it's just you on stage.
you guys are out of Kingston. You all from Kingston or from
Hell
all over
no.
the place? Yeah. You just say Kingston?
That's where we rehearse.
The band's from Kingston.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah. I live in Kingston.
All right.
I'm from New Paltz.
Oh, all right, yeah.
But where are you from?
Well, I'm from East Rockaway.
There you go. Where are you from, Dave?
I'm from Schlong Island.
Schlong.
Where are you from, Jeremy?
I'm from upstate. farther, in the middle of nowhere.
So. Weedsport?
Not that far.
Weedsport area?
Oh, go ahead. Tell the people.
Okay, I'll tell the town. The town I grew up in was Treadwell.
Okay.
Treadwell. Had about 300 people, maybe, total.
It sounds like a place like that they have a TV show where people are missing and shit like
that. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like there secret government lab in the woods.
Exactly, Yeah. You know, it's like where Stranger Things happen.
Yeah. Ooh, nice. I'm from Mississippi.
Oh.
Mississippi.
Interesting. It's true. I'm born and raised.
So you're that's right. You're a big Trump guy. I forgot.
Hey, you know,
big Trump fan.
I think, especially it's you know,
he's in love. It's a love
president's
affair.
It's President's Day, and so we need
and
to remember that ruler of the free world now is a military hero. And if Trump hadn't fucked up with everything, everybody would be loving Putin right now. That's all I have to say.
It's fairly concise.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but we're like friends on Facebook. I don't know, even though I've, you know, I just, for some reason, I was just like, your friend request was accepted by Earl Lundy. I was like,
Who the fuck is Earl Lundy?
Oh, the Shadow Witch guy.
So because you looked at it and you're going, from Macomb, Mississippi? Fuck that.
And then, like, constantly in my news feed, all this stuff during the election, and I'm like, oh, this guy's aggro. He's not a fan.
Oh, dear. Which is it's kind of rough, you know, because there are a few guys in the stoner rock community, reviewers that really, you know, they say things like the disease of the liberal mind.
Jesus Christ, man! Isn't like music kind of liberal? Like, well, the way of thinking is kind of, I don't know. It's maybe I'm out of my mind.
Right.
It could be anything, I guess. You know.
Yeah, you know, and what people want to do on their own. Their own personal page is their business, and everybody leaves it off the music sites. But it is kind of disconcerting. It's like, wait. I mean, I look at their age, and it's like, dude, you were listening to Hendrix. It's like, you know, you were listening to immigrants. You're listening to people talking about burning flags when you're a kid, you know, and you weren't going like, I don't know, them hippies, you know.
Yeah.
I really don't buy that, you know. Yeah. So it's like somebody changed their tune, and what drove you to that? I mean, look, I grew up in Mississippi. I grew up in Mississippi, and I experienced civil rights. You know, I was in a school that got integrated during my childhood. You know, I saw people in cotton fields who were not slaves, but, you know, they were definitely second-class citizens, and they didn't have the right to vote at the time. I'm old as fuck, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. But, I get that.
But, pretty clear. But no, I mean, I had to deal with this shit. I had to, you know, I know what that shit's like. The idea of anybody wanting to return to that, I've lived through that shit. It was scary. Mm-hmm. You know, it was scary when I was in fucking college, man. I'd been spread eagle on the side of the car for no other reason than my hair was too long. Then I cut off all my hair because I was a fucking punk, and I was spread eagle on the side of the car because you must be a faggot.
Oh, you're talking about the police.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought it was just like a Friday night kind of. Just saying. So I heard spread eagle. I went, oh, yeah. Here we go. Oh, you're just getting arrested.
I'll calm down now.
Yeah, I was about to ask, how sick of you are you guys of hearing him?
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Doug had no idea.
I'm just listening. Like background music. It's just kind of a banjo or some kind of.
Ding ding ding.
So it is President's Day. We have some, you know, literature.
Nice literature.
We did a President's Day thing last year. I dressed up like Washington with the thing. I had long hair.
I didn't do anything. I wore an Abraham Lincoln hat.
Yeah, this cocksucker is like, oh, we'll do it. I was like, let's do a President's Day thing. It'll be fun. We'll dress up. He's like, yeah, I could shave my beard like Abraham Lincoln and put on a top hat. Boom. He shows up, just the top hat, sweatshirt, zip-up hoodie. Meanwhile, I got my baseball pants on that hiked up to my knees with socks, you know, high socks. You know, I looked very professional. I had powder in my hair.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Ribbon.
You had all his teeth pulled, had the wooden ones put in.
Exactly. And he just left me out to dry. All that work.
You got to see the and I'm not going to be able to find it fast enough. Forget it.
So, influences. I mean, I kind of want to go around because my favorite thing is to find out, because, you know, a couple of bands I was in, it's like, each guy had something different that he liked them. You know, I just really like to hear all of your individual influences.
Start with Dave.
And what makes Shadow Witch, Shadow Witch.
Michael, I just try to honestly bring just a lot of heavy, groovy pocket type of stuff. So, like, I'm a big fan of, like, Sepultura, Chaos AD album, you know, old Iron Maiden. I love Steve Harris. I think he's an amazing bass player. Same with, like, John Paul Jones, Led Zeppelin. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm getting really into like Red Fang lately. Love, you know, Alice in Chains. You know, I know the one song, like Blood on the Vine. I always felt like it had like a very like eerie Alice in Chains type of feel to it. But I listen to everything. I can go from like listening to like a Norah Jones album to put it on Cannibal Corpse. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm pretty all over the place when it comes to music. At times. And sometimes I just want to punch babies in the face, you know? Nice. You know?
Only sometimes.
Doug's finding out a lot of new things here tonight.
Hence why I'm not having children. Right. Yeah.
That's probably good, Dave.
Yeah. He's like, man, I just show up and play. I don't want to hear all this.
Pretty much.
That's a pretty good impression of it.
Yeah, we can play songs or what? You guys shut the fuck up for once. Let's play some music.
It's my role as a motivator. Keep the train rolling. You know, we're on the clock, you know.
Well, what about you then?
You know, I'm old. you know, grew up with Kiss and Queen and The Police and Leonard Skinner, and then I got into Motorhead. It changed my life, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
let me
just,
do
no
that
sleep
too.
Till Hammersmith, just unbelievable. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, Overkill. I mean, who played like that back then?
Nah.
And then I went to college, and then got into punk and DRI and every year stuff like Slayer and Venom and. But then, the punk thing really, old. You know, going to CBGBs and seeing Agnostic Front and. Cro-Mags and
Jesus,
I was just like this whole scene is just unbelievable. Like it was just the crossover, like, and then it all started to cross over, you know, the Slayer stuff with, you know, the DRI and it just was, you know, I think the 80s were really cool, man. I mean, I really, for me as a drummer, you know, to go to kind of up that, you know, start out with the Kiss, you know, like the basic, you know, Detroit Rock City. I got it. I think I got it. You know, and the Zeppelin was a little too much, you know, and Queen was simple, you know, and then, oh, the Motorhead, oh, double bass, you know, and a little Motley Crue, big Van Halen. I'm a big Van Halen fan, like Alex Van Halen.
Yeah.
You know, big washy cymbal sounds, like, you know, just beating the crap out of drums. It's just beaten.
Yeah.
You know,
they're there to be killed.
And then, like, that's the whole punk rock thing. Like, for me, going from playing mostly metal into the punk rock thing, and then I got into Murphy's Law and did that whole thing for, you know, 5 years, and, you know, it was great. I just got literally just to go crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, that for me, that whole punk rock thing was just awesome. You know, now I still listen to a lot of it. I'm listening to 7 Seconds in the car, you know, on the way over, a little Motorhead, a little Leonard Skinner, you know?
Yeah.
A kind of mix. And with these guys, you know, I could bring a little bit of everything to this music, you know, and make it, you know, with this band, there's, yeah, you know, as you saw at the show, it's a lot of dynamics. So. Mm-hmm. I'm into that. You know, when we play heavy, I can, you know, we rock it out. You know, when we got to come back and bring it down. So, yeah, that's my influence, you know. So.
That's sick. Yeah, I just, Have you seen the movie CBGB? Have you seen that one?
No.
They did a movie with Alan Rickman, played Billy Hilly Crystal.
Oh, there's actually. Oh my god.
Yeah. It's pretty. I don't know, man. It was good because they kind of mixed like a. They were Punk Magazine. That's kind of how they modeled the movie after. So it was like almost like, you know, scene transitions were comic book. Comic book panels and stuff like that. It was a lot of cool shit in it.
It was better than it could have been, for sure.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
I got a kick out of it. Because, I mean, I don't, you know, that's that kind of shit. When I'm watching the movie, I'm like, I fucked up. I got my parents fucked up. They should have had me earlier so I could have seen this shit. Yeah. You know?
It's just, crazy.
It's always your parents' fault, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was good.
It turns out, you know. Pretty... I had never heard of the Dead Boys.
Mm.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Saw that movie and then went, I gotta get on Spotify right now. And I was just listening to Dead Boys. I was like, God damn it, these guys are fucking great. And it just like, you know,
a whole other
that movie really kind
of quadrant of music.
Yeah, you
know, that was a good times there, man. My last memory of CBGB's, you know, at the end of Murphy's Law shows, we used to do this little jump, you know, at the end, and you know, CBGB's is kind of small.
Yo, shit, yeah.
So
yeah,
I
decided to climb up on something and do my. Sometimes I would flip into the drums, and I actually did a 1.5.
Damn.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking impressive. Except the half was my head hit the corner of the edge of the snare drum. Black. Everything went black, and I woke up, and our booking agent was standing above me, and he's like, "Are you all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's going on?" He goes, "You've been out for a while." I'm like, "Oh, really? Oh, you know." I sat up, and Jimmy's like, "He's alive." Of course I'm alive. And I feel the beer song, you know, and I start playing. I look down, and I had blood all over my shirt. Apparently, the next day I had to get 6 stitches in my head. I probably popped my head open pretty good.
Can't get much more punk rock than that.
That was my last show. Jimmy, so. Everlasting memories. and marks from that. But that place was just same thing, man. Like I go see, we played there with the Dickies. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of that from the California, but old California band. You know, it was just like a weird night. Not a Sunday matinee, but you know, they were old, you know, older punk rock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were touring with them. We played there on a Thursday night, you know, it wasn't the Sunday night. And like you said, it's just like they're just, you know, it's old school. You know, back then, I guess that was, you know. But same thing, man. Just, you know, great place. Cool.
Jeremy, you're up.
It's kind of hard to follow that.
Yeah. That's a story. I'm old, man.
I don't have blood pouring out of my head.
It's always the quiet ones.
I did my time, man.
That's why he sticks to water these days.
I drank my per capita of Budweiser for 20 years.
Write that down.
I stopped drinking, the stock of Budweiser plummeted. Anheuser-Busch plummeted. What the hell happened?
So, well, I just picked up guitar. I started with drums, and then I picked up guitar, and I just became obsessed with playing guitar. And so it was like Hendrix, and it was Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin. That was the first thing that got me started. I was like, okay, I want to learn how to do this. First, you know, even as a kid, when I heard music, I was like, I want to be able to make this. Yeah. I don't want to just listen to it. I want to do it and make my own and create it. So,
how old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
40.
40?
Yeah.
All right, so not much older than me, so we probably have kind of the same.
Yeah. I was going to see what you're talking about, like grunge and that era like that. So, I mean, it was that. I mean, I just wanted to play those things. So I just forced my fingers to, like, learn how to play guitar. I just sat down and spent hours, you know, learning. And
what was that band that you heard and that was like, well,
it
fuck,
was Led
I got
to
do this?
I wanted to play Led Zeppelin songs. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, so. And then it just snowballed from there to everything else and. You know, I spent a lot of time like listening to the blues, and you know, I have all kinds of different influences to bring in too. I've done classical music, even stuff like that in college. I did composition and things like that.
No
too.
Kidding.
So I know some music theory and all that kind of stuff too.
Oh, he's a smart one.
So, yeah. But it's cool. Like with this band, you know, I can bring in everything. You know, because to me, sound is just music is just sound that you've kind of sculpted or changed or. made into something. And, you know, I just treat it as kind of like I hear colors when I'm, and I'm not taking any drugs, but when I listen, when I play music, it's like there's something else going on. You know, and I hear colors and sounds and things like that. So, yeah.
That's deep, bro.
I think that's the one thing.
It's called synesthesia.
I think it's
one thing. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The thing about the four of us, it seems like, because we're writing new material. I mean,
all right.
It's moving along at a rapid pace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the way it is now, you almost have to put one out every year, you know?
Oh, it's going to be sooner than that. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot sooner
than
that.
Yeah, but like he's saying, you can bring in anything, and the four of us can do something different. It's not like... Yeah. It's pretty cool, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why I'm glad I hooked up with these guys, you know, because it's been really a fun experience for me to get back into drumming again, being off for a while, you know, and start playing again with these guys. It's just really an awesome experience for me, you know, to be able to create with these guys. There's no bullshit involved here. It's just good music and sounds and feeding off of each other.
Yeah, yeah. It's very collaborative. Everything we do, too, is really collaborative.
We were just chatting about it, you know, prior. It's going to be really interesting for everyone to hear it. It's going to be great.
The new stuff.
Yeah.
Thunderous.
Do you guys have something else in the works?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah.
That's exciting.
At this point, we've got...
you allowed to talk about it?
Well, we can't.
Well, we have like nine listeners.
What does the label say you can talk about?
We can't talk about who the label is because we're not officially signed.
Good.
But we're
in talks.
We're in talks with a label, and you know they're not a. It's not like we're signing to, you know, to Capitol or Arista or anything, you know.
Shit,
but
the way things are, like now,
it's not that way anymore.
It's not the way it used to be. You don't have to be on Sony or A&M or Geffen or whatever.
Yeah, because why would you want to? In a sense, I mean, you want somebody to own your fucking life.
Yeah.
And there's too many obligations.
And you got to sell a million if you want to be on one of those labels at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't even want to see anything. Yeah. And the music scene that we're all in, that's not what it's about at this point. You know, I mean, there are bands that do well, you know, but I mean, well would be not having a day job.
Yeah, making a living at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That's what we want. For this. We just want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
right.
Awesome.
I'll do this for $14,000 a year. I'll make my life work around that.
Yep. I hear you. Yeah.
I hear that. I would love to stop working in bucket trucks and just play music.
What about you, Earl?
No, you're going to say something.
No, go ahead. No. I was going to toot my own.
You
should. I wasn't tooting my own.
I want to hear you toot.
We want to hear you toot. Hold on. Let me move the microphone.
I've told the story before, but I mean, you know, I was only in a couple bands, just jamming with my friends. And the last one I was in, it was going really well. At least I felt it was going well. But just there was guys in the band that wanted to go one way, and I wanted to go this way, and it stopped being fun and all of a sudden became a job.
Yep.
And then I said, fuck that shit. I'm done. Yeah. I'm just done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just put everything down for many years. And I tried to do another thing with another friend of mine. That just kind of fell apart. And then I said, fuck this, man. I originally wanted to do radio. So now the podcast thing is so.
Yeah.
And once again, I mean, you know. Hey, if you could get a couple of sponsors, you could actually make a living with podcasting.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, because the reality is
the Crafted Cup, they pledged, what, $2,500 or something?
Yeah. $25,000.
$25,000.
It was.
Okay.
There you go, baby.
You got the comma wrong. Tanner corrected me on his way out.
Okay, good.
Yeah. A month.
Nice.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I wasn't.
Oh, okay. So what about your influences then?
Well, like I said, I'm, you know, 175 years old. So
you look good.
I've seen a lot. Thank you. I've seen a lot. Now, when I was a kid, my one of my cousins was a much older cousin, but he was in a band that turned out to be really famous. He went out from a
name drop, motherfucker.
Yep, damn right. No, my cousin Chris Etheridge, God rest his soul. He was the original bass player for
the Flying Burrito Brothers. And
I haven't heard the name for some reason.
They kind of invented country rock.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the Birds get credit for it, but the reality is the Flying Burrito Brothers was formed because the guy that came into the Flying Burrito Brothers, I mean, into the Birds, that was changing the Birds, was fired by Chris Hillman. And he started a band called the Flying Burrito Brothers with my cousin. And so anyway, what I was going to say was, I mean, this guy, you know, he left Mississippi when he was like 17 years old. He was playing in a bar in Biloxi, Mississippi, at like a Ramada Inn or some shit. And Johnny Rivers, who was traveling through there, heard him play. And he's like, hey, man, you know, you're pretty good. You want a gig? And, you know, bought him a ticket out to L.A. And the guy ended up, you know, I mean, he played with fucking everybody. He played with Linda Ronstadt and he Leon Russell, Dr. John, Willie Nelson for 10 years on the road. I mean, he played with fucking everybody. I mean, you know, if you look him up on Wikipedia, he's got a huge list of credits. But the thing was, as a kid growing up at Christmas at the McWilliams house, and that was my real family. It's not my last name, but my mom's family were very important to me, and the McWilliams. Yeah. But Chris was there for Christmas every now and then. And there were also a couple of uncles that were my mother's brothers that were like identical twins. And they, by the time I think they were like 15, could play anything with strings on it.
No. And then fucking people.
Yeah. And then I had an aunt who played piano in the church, you know, and she did the what they called the barrel house left hand, which was like a sinful way to play because, you know, you're hopping the bass. But she could do that. So at Christmas,
she was slapping the bass on organ,
on piano, on the stand up piano.
All right. There you
go.
So
at Christmas, occasionally it would be her playing the piano and my uncles, Arnold and Donald, and they'd say Arnold and Donald. And they'd be on, they'd be playing,
why, what,
because it rhymes
anyway?
That way. Arnold and Donald. So
the letters are just suggestive.
Exactly. So they'd be playing, and then Chris would come home for, you know, to see his folks every now and then, every couple of Christmases. And it was like watching Jesus come through the fucking door. It was like the guy was like 6'3 or 6'4 at least, and real thin, and he had jet black hair down, you know, past his shoulders and a beard. And for me, as a little kid, it was just like, oh my God, you know, this is like, whatever this guy is doing, it was so alternative to everything that I saw, you know. I mean, everybody had crew cuts. Everybody had, you know, was listening to AM radio. And there was something going on. And then his younger brothers both were in bands and started growing their hair. And then another cousin, Bruce, started growing his hair. And all these guys were much older than me. And so I was growing up, like, seeing these guys and like, oh, my God, I got to whatever they're doing, I got to do it. Whatever drugs they're on that makes the hair grow long.
And when you find out stuff, let me know, all right?
Yeah. So
I'm tired
anyway.
Of having eyebrows.
So no, I mean I knew that I wanted to do something with the music, and but early influences for me, I mean, you know, the blues was there. And I saw blues.
Oh, Mississippi, that's...
I saw blues, but it was on people's front porches.
Yeah.
I saw it. I saw a guy playing a guitar with a knife, you know. I saw that.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I didn't see it in a documentary. I fucking saw it, you know. So there was that. So I actually got into a lot of trouble for playing the blues in my parents' house. My dad came home from work early one day, and I'm out in the living room, you know, playing on my mama's console stereo, and I've got, like, Muddy Waters, like, at, you know, 12. And he was like,
Lundy, what are you doing? You got to turn that down. It people are going to think we're running a juke joint in here, you know.
That's the devil.
No, it's worse than the devil is the black people. No.
You know,
I can take that out of context for you. Yeah. I'm just going to post that just one. That.
No, but you know, my parents were not racist, but they were living in the South, and you know, keeping up with the Joneses, and that's the thing about the South that used to be anyway that people didn't understand. It's like it's not. Issues are not black and white. There's just, it's all gray. It's everything is a gray area. Mm. You know, I mean, my parents, I mean, I can tell stories about my parents and people go, oh, they were horrible racists. It's like, my dad, you know, they had a cross burned in their yard. You know? I mean, it just doesn't work that way, man. It's not that simple, you know? Yeah. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. But I grew up in a, you know. You said you had lots of time.
That's a gin talk.
It's entertaining. Really.
But
I have to do my job.
There you go. But no, it was a lot of influences. I mean, I really was into the blues. But to be honest, I really got into it by way of Duane Allman. You know, I heard the Allman Brothers. I heard that guitar, that slide guitar, mm-hmm. and connected that with what I had seen on somebody's porch, and was like, "Oh, okay, this is really fabulous." So I was really into the blues, but then I discovered we moved when I was like 12, and on one afternoon, tuned in the station, I realized. It was an FM station because my mother listened to like soft FM. And so I changed the channel when she was out of the house and I found the one and only FM station in Mississippi, WZZQ in Jackson, Mississippi. And in one rotation, I heard Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull talking about shooting in the sink. I heard
shooting in the sink.
Yeah,
like his load. Loads.
Like his load. Yeah,
all right. It's fine.
In the same
You're
room.
Fine. Yeah, this is a safe right. space.
In that same rotation.
Why you guys don't do that? Easy cleanup, man. Easy cleanup.
In that turn same on the faucet and go. It's for the jack off on the go.
There you go. But I heard that. I heard "Queen Bitch" by David Bowie. And I heard "Vicious" by Lou Reed. I heard those three things.
That'll do it.
In one rotation, one little block between commercials, and it was just like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck am I missing?
You know, mm-hmm. and it was all over at that point. My parents, you know, never got another sane moment.
Just a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. I was such a nice little boy until then.
Until the. Rock and roll devil got you.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you guys doing your next album is going to be full length, or are you doing the EP thing, or what?
What we're talking about doing, because we're really interested in this possible signing, and so we may do a digital single release, but we are planning a full length. We've already got like six or seven
songs,
tunes
yeah.
worked out, yep. And demoed, and we've been showing those to these people that will remain unnamed. But
will you tell us after the mics turn off?
No.
So we can send them.
No, we can't.
So we can send them messages to let them know.
Only, send them dirty pictures.
Right. Yes.
Will you guys commit to allowing us to just ride your coattails? all the way.
Only if it's vice a vice.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. All right.
We've got 70, 80 listeners now. Something
there you
like
go.
That.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
That's a conservative estimate. Well, we got that one show, 70 or 80 people listen.
That counts, right?
No, but we have tentatively, we know what song we want to focus on as the single or the mm-hmm. teaser. It's a song called "Disciples of the Crow," and right. yep. and it's short and sweet, but it's really dark.
Short and sweet. Short and dark.
And dark and heavy as fuck, and it has really dismal, dark, apocalyptic imagery. And that's sort of, I think that's, we sort of feel like that'll probably be the title of the album.
That's what I'm pushing for that.
And actually, one thing we can say is that we have contracted with somebody who's sort of in that stoner rock community, this illustrator, David Paul Seymour, to do cover work, cover art for it.
Okay.
So that's happening. And whether that comes out as the art for the digital single or whether we hold it back for the album or both, possibly. But it's... lyrically, I think it's heavier than the last one, maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, so. More consistently heavy.
Yeah.
And tune-wise, there are more long songs on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More instrumental passages.
Mm-hmm. Songs are definitely more intense.
I think there's a little more
bigger arrangements.
Intensity.
Doug is bringing extra intensity to the music because he's just. He attacks the fucking drum set like animals.
With his head.
We got to wake him up, and then he goes nuts.
Just turn me on. That's all.
He's just a whiner.
Flip the switch and let him go. Yeah. Like Animal in The Electric Mayhem.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
But, some of the songs, there was like two songs that we were playing with our old drummer, and then Doug getting behind it, those songs, and brought a little fresher light to it, like a different...
Old as in previous, or he was older than him?
Previous.
Okay.
Jesus Christ! The energy changed a lot. Yeah. You know, Anthony...
Air just got sucked out of the room.
Now, Anthony was great, but he was growing frustrated with the direction that we were kind of going, to be honest.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't mind us saying that.
No.
Are you listening, Anthony?
Hello, Anthony.
Mr. Tony Two Thumbs?
Tony Talkbacks.
Tony Talkbacks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Tony Tallfingers.
You know,
we know how like people feel when we're doing our inside jokes.
I don't know.
But yeah, the energy definitely changed because, I mean, Anthony was...
I think we already wanted to go heavier a little bit, and that was part of the issue a little bit for Anthony. And
Plus, we all just really like to rehearse, and we really like to get things really fucking tight.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time doing that.
And Anthony was getting frustrated by... He just wanted to like play his fucking drums.
Yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to rock out.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean,
absolutely,
cool. It's just... Yeah, but we want to really like hone the songs, like get them down, nail all the transitions, and get a lot. You know, we spend a lot of time working on the material. So
I really enjoy, and you guys and many other bands. But like when you hear a band live, and you just go, they do this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can tell the difference.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know, and like Clutch is probably one of our favorite bands, and you go see Clutch, and it sounds exactly like the recording.
They're fucking bored up there. Dan's on bass just like
you can definitely tell a difference. You can tell bands that just, you know, they know the song, but they only nailed it that one day.
Right.
It's definitely the newer songs. It's a nice collection of different styles again.
Yeah, I don't want any of our songs to sound like we're playing like one of our other songs. I don't want it to sound like we're playing the same song over and over and over.
Yeah.
We want to have, you know, each song really stands on its own as a unique song.
That's one of the things about the first record is that when you listen to the first record, the songs don't, you know, they don't sound, every song has its own life.
But it comes together as a whole.
Like today I was doing a little homework listening to the album. Ever since I realized that it came out, because we were very excited about it. Do you have it?
We got the promo. No, next one.
That's somebody else. Yeah.
This one. Hey, you look like you're hungry.
You're chewing on that.
So we
were good.
It tastes
pretty good. Whoever you got to make the the packaging is delicious. Delicious. Well, my compliments to the chef.
That would be our illustrator for that, and who's done all of our posters so far.
Here's another plug.
Yes,
Miss Kim. Miss Kim.
She definitely needs the plug.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's done a lot of work. Designer. For us, so.
She has. Yeah.
She's Kim, like a graphic designer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. An artist. Cool. You know, she draws as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kim's done...
Kim Zangrando.
Yes. Exactly.
All right.
Just so you guys know, I am a professional photographer.
Nice.
So if you need anything.
Very cool.
Let me know. I'll give you an okay discount.
Okay. And, we used to not be able to talk about...
Doug hasn't even seen this thing yet.
The model. Because at first it was like, no. You can't... That's a real person.
those buddies.
She's lovely, even with the goat mask.
It's not a goat head.
I know. I just
those are deer antlers, and it's just a piece of leather. It's just leather and antlers. But that's Samantha, very lovely young lady, and she's
indeed.
She's a lovely young lady, and yes, we like her very much, and we're very happy that she modeled for us. She did try to do the shoot with pasties on, and I had to give her more alcohol.
Had to put the kibosh on that one. I want nipples or get the fuck out.
I thought you didn't give her gin.
I think it was tequila.
The Creeper, actually. That's my favorite one.
That's a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah, a lot of people like
that.
That's the dirge.
Kim
that's
actually
why.
Likes right. that one too, right? Yeah. Isn't that Kim's awesome. Favorite song?
That's Kim's favorite
yeah.
song.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, when I was listening, I was having a lot of trouble picking like one that I really like.
We like
really
that.
Do.
We're
yeah.
glad.
When we
they
first,
really stand, yeah. they really stand out. I think it's going to be once I memorize all the lyrics, then I'll pick. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll pick one that I like the most.
When we first got this, I think it was you who got it from.
Okay.
I got one of those little.
Buttons. I was too drunk to. Cool. I wasn't allowed to come
I don't
over.
Know. It
and
might
say
have been
hi.
Me too because I had one yeah. of your stickers, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we dropped off a bunch
but,
of stuff.
Yeah, whatever, but it was.
You
was
were like,
me. I don't really care.
You're like, oh, it's not finished. I'm like, I don't give a shit. It's yeah. just like you guys. Like, if I can get this is fine. You know, I liked you guys that much, and. I listened to it, then he listened to it, and we pretty much don't talk until tonight.
No.
It's better that way.
We did spend the day together today.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Yeah. We had a play date.
A little bro date.
Shadow Witch, the song, he's just like, how come it sounds like he's just screaming and swinging the mic in the air? And I was just like, it's an effect.
I know absolutely nothing about music. Like, I like music, obviously, but I don't know anything about
it. I never sat there and blew my eardrums out trying to figure out what you guys are doing
well,
in that little part there.
Actually, you're absolutely right. I was
that's
just,
what you're doing?
I was just screaming and swinging the mic. I'm correct. Circle. No, it's actually the way we did this, I mean, it was very quick. We recorded this very quickly. And most of the effects that are on the vocals are the same effects that you heard when you saw us open up for Corrosion. I sang live with the guys when they tracked, and you know, every one of these. Well, the whole album, every cut, just basically we sat up, got levels, and recorded, and maybe did two takes of each song, and just took the best one. We didn't cut anything. We didn't cut them together and to make a perfect version. Mm-hmm. It was like two tracks, you know, two takes. Which one you want?
Yeah.
And we did that. And on in each case, I sang live in the room. And they could hear me through the headphones, and basically then what we did afterwards, we recorded that, and afterwards when I tracked the vocals for reels, we left the stereo effect from my dummy vocal, from my, you know, the vocal that,
like the scratch. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the scratch vocal. The scratch vocal, yeah.
We left the stereo effect, we kept it. And just because we realized it's like I started recording, and I think Shadow Witch was the first vocal
yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
And I brought it to the guys. Matthew
Matthew Cullen, our engineer, and I kind of mixed it, and I brought it to the guys. I'm like, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, they're going to really like it. Jeremy's like, what the fuck is this?
Sounds like lounge music or something.
This sounds horrible. And basically what we did, we went back and we added my effects chain into it. So you got all that wash and all that dirt.
Yeah.
And I realized it's like, next song? Yeah, push it up. So, I mean, it's basically almost all the delays and echoes and everything. That's just my live setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just noticing that sign next to you? Yeah.
That was there. That was there before you got here.
It says balls over there too. Dick and balls.
The table. All of this used to be over there. That's why that's there. As if it was permanent. It's chalk on the wall.
Yeah.
Change it whenever we want.
Oh, I can't see the all dicks right. thing on there, but. Yeah, I want to get back to the evolution thing. Your music just constantly evolving. I listened to Godsmack's new album, and I like was just like they just stopped caring. They stopped giving a shit. A long time ago. I mean, a long time ago, you know, when the first couple albums, you're like, it's pretty bad. At least I was just like, this is pretty badass. And then all of a sudden, years later, I'm like. It's a Godsmack song. And then now it's 2000, I think it was 2014, I want to say they put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, Jesus, do these guys know how to do anything else?
One trick.
I mean, party. Like, I don't want to, talk too much shit. Because, I mean, shit, man, they're doing, they're doing what I've always wanted to do.
Right.
True.
You know, but
it's
at the same
similar,
time.
It's
like,
similar to, like, what we were talking about with commercial radio. They
yeah.
just,
yeah.
they
oh,
go,
yeah.
oh, well, this worked. We can't change it.
That's it.
We can't change it because then we'll lose people.
Yeah. Format is everything.
Yeah.
I feel like that happened to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yep.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a huge fan.
Yeah,
the ice cold tallywhackers.
Huge fan of, like, Uplift the Mofo Party Plan.
Yeah.
I mean,
it just, like, was a downward trajectory.
I saw them with Jack Irons and Hill, the guitar guy.
Yeah.
And then we actually toured with them right before Mother's Milk came out.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then they put that Mother's Milk album out, and you're like, okay. You know, then they got the hit.
Yeah.
Covering Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
And then
Behind the Sun on
Sugar,
there too?
Sex Magic. Awesome. Unbelievable.
I remember buying that
at
Media Play in the South Hills Mall. I bought it.
That was the first CD I ever bought.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
good for you.
That thing was killer.
I brought it up to the cashier, and like two guys online that weren't together, just separate people. They were like, "Is that your like the first time you're getting this album?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't have it. I just know a couple songs." They're like, "Dude, that's fucking best all time. One of the all time greats alternative albums.
The one with what's his
Navarro?
Navarro.
One Hot Minute.
Interesting.
I liked it. I thought it was
one
cool.
Hot Minute,
different.
Personally.
Little Jane's Chili Pepper.
Yeah."
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then after that, for me,
Californication.
Please!
Yeah, they got there, but they figured out the formula.
Yeah,
and then we just get that one song.
That was everybody's girlfriend's favorite song when we were in high school.
Californication.
Yeah. California.
Yeah.
What about California? It's like, all right, enough about California. I know you live there.
Yeah,
to me that was the end.
Yeah. Well, it's like they got the format right. And then they added the
California.
Pitch. Well, they added pitch correction.
Pitch correction.
Oh, yeah.
And from it's like, oh wait, he can sing?
No, he can't.
No, he can't.
That was what was good about them. Is he couldn't fucking sing.
Exactly.
Yeah. No one listens to Helmet because Page is quite. He's got a great vocal
Helmet.
Range. They want to hear him scream and yell into the microphone. You know, it's just same shit. Yeah.
Yep.
I love Helmet. That's.
Then he cut off his hair and he grew a mustache. And I just, Anthony, what are you thinking?
What, you don't like my mustache?
God damn it.
That's a milk mustache, Dave.
Oh, sorry. I can't grow a mustache. I look like a pedophile. It's like real, this red, scraggly rat's nest. All I need is like some amber glasses and a white van.
I can see it. I think we got to make this the
no,
focus
no,
of a
it's
video.
Terrible.
I know,
it
but we're gonna put a pocket protector on you.
You could be the creeper.
Yes,
man.
Yeah. I'd be like, what's that movie? Michael Douglas.
The first, you said the first CD or the first album you ever bought?
The
was
first
Blood Sugar.
CD I ever bought, like
CD.
Just that in that format.
Okay,
Was that? I remember the first album. that like I straight up was like in a record store, not even a record, it was like a Caldor. And I was like,
wow.
I was, and it was out in like East Hamptons. I was with my uncle, and I saw Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. I was a big Iron Maiden fan, but all the albums I've got were from this kid around the block from my house. He used to let me borrow the tapes, and I just, you know, just make a copy of it. And then have my mom photocopy the album cover.
Wow.
Yeah,
I like it.
You know, yeah, and yeah, that was like the first tape that I straight up was like, oh, I need to own this. And that's actually one of my favorite Maiden albums as well.
What about
first album?
Well, yeah, first album.
Kiss Destroyer.
Yeah.
That's
a big first for a lot of you know, a lot of
older guys. my dad bought me for Christmas tickets to see Kiss in 76.
Holy
so
shit.
I probably
wasn't even born yet.
I was 10. My dad took me to see Kiss. That's pretty and then cool, in though. 77, my mom said, "Do you want, can I go see another show?" And she's like, you know, okay, what would you like to go see? Queen or Led Zeppelin? And I picked Queen.
I would have had to
and
go
I still
Queen.
Remember
yeah.
it to this day, Queen yeah. Live Killers. That was the tour, that album,
Jesus
that double live
Christ,
album.
Man.
No
and
shit.
And I remember the Kiss show to this day. Yeah. Ace Frehley's boot coming out, the lights go down, everybody's standing up. You know, it was my first concert.
Those were huge shows
when they used
though,
to
that,
smoke
yeah,
indoors.
Their,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was pretty much
people
their
were
beat,
drinking,
though,
and then you know the evolution.
Oh yeah,
you know the. And Aerosmith after that, and people throwing fireworks, you know. And
Adam, unfortunately, he's going to the bathroom right now. He could talk to you for hours about Aerosmith. It's his favorite band. He loves him. Well,
so Kiss Destroyer.
I don't know. Maybe not now.
Yeah.
Kiss Destroyer.
Yeah, man. I still have it. Yeah.
The record?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's not in great shape. But
no, of course not, but that's a good...
It's got the stickers from the inside stuck on it.
Of course, yeah.
So that's yours.
Who knew?
Forever.
Yeah.
You're not getting rid of that. No one's taking that
stickers
shit.
Forever.
Yeah.
I think my mom bought me like Casey and the Sunshine Band and Donna Summer. She's like, oh, here's some records, you know, and I'm like, hey,
disco.
Yeah, well.
Little
does she know she's introducing you to coke music.
Yeah, exactly.
And homosexuality.
instead of pot and whiskey, you get like cocaine.
My favorite song off it was God of Thunder. And you know, it's like all that creepy kids' voices, and it's like, you know, this is pretty nutty. And then I remember my, my brother's godfather's teenage sons came over, and they're like, oh, you listen to Kiss. You know, like, you need to listen to, you need to listen to these bands. And they wrote down like Queen and Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah, all right.
And, you know, Zeppelin. And so I remember I went and bought Blue Oyster Cult Spectrus. So that has Godzilla on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I used to draw, like your thing over there, I used to draw the Blue Oyster Cult thing all over my binder at school. And I went to Catholic school, and Sister Francine's like, what is this on your thing? I'm like, it's Blue Oyster Cult. She's
cult?
Like, what is
cult?
This cult thing? My mother gets a call. You know?
There's only one cult you need
right.
to follow.
He's drawing things about cults.
You're getting paddled
thing.
In front of the class.
Yeah. What are these blue oysters?
In high school, it was Venom, black
blue
metal.
Oyster.
Yeah,
I went to all boys school, and they, you know, what's this? You know, black metal.
Yeah,
you know, with the goat's head.
Got to go extreme. You got to find the other end of the spectrum
and
see what's up.
Merciful Fate, and you know, good shit.
I remember actually thinking that if I listened to certain things, you know, Mississippi, very very Protestant, very you know. Very religious background, and I thought if I listen to these things all the way through to the end, I am actually going to be possessed by the devil. You know,
and
so
then
you hit reverse
on Led Zeppelin 4.
I was gonna say, I remember the rumors about all that stuff. Like, that just drew me into all that stuff.
Fuck
though. I was like, oh, I want to listen to this now.
I'm like practically shaking. Like, you know, should I take the needle off before it finishes? I know if I get all the way to the end, he's going to have me.
What about you? What was your first Earl?
Me?
Since you're talking.
I'm not going to tell you that.
Come on!
No, no fucking
this is
way.
Why I love this question no, for everybody. Way. No matter who's in the room, I love asking what was your first album, because like, it's some fucking
I'll
like
tell you, Mike,
Mamas and the Papas or some nonsense.
I would never listen to that shit. No,
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. When Frankie's first album came out, when he was playing with Jimmy Dorsey's, I was really into that. But actually, the young Ella Fitzgerald, she really made me crazy.
Earl's old enough. It was probably Mozart's first album that you were
right.
Yeah.
It was on like one of those. What are they? The wheels?
The wax.
The wax.
Edison
wax
cylinder.
That's
Edison
started
cylinder. Edison wax cylinder.
You know, when Mozy and I were hanging, there was none of that.
They were playing rocks.
No, I will tell you though, my first concert.
Okay.
Welcome to My Nightmare Tour.
Oh shit, Alice Cooper?
With Dick Wagner and Steve Hunter.
Yeah, those are great.
On
great
dual lead guitars. Holy
classic,
fucking
classic.
Shit,
classic.
Man.
Yeah. Another,
that, that's
another
the same
performer.
Yeah,
know,
and well and that but that band
put on
that
a show.
Band,
yeah, that
man.
Was that was the best for
that
him.
The
yeah,
band
absolutely.
That he had live on the Welcome to My Nightmare Tour, it's the same band that's on Lou Reed's Rock and Roll Animal.
Yeah. No, no,
it's
kidding.
The same
yeah,
band.
They also did a lot of Aerosmith stuff, actually.
Oh,
they
did the solos.
They did a lot of the stuff on the Aerosmith albums in the early
like
70s.
Like the famous
yeah.
solos.
Yeah. Before Joe Perry got good.
Yeah. Joe Perry had to memorize their
yeah.
solos.
Yeah, yeah. So those guys were really important duo.
They
yeah,
really,
absolutely.
Really were. They
in
both
the 70s. That yeah. was the. They were the guys.
They were the guys. And yeah. and I actually I went to see that show because of the Rock and Roll Animal
yeah, so see,
album.
That's a great album.
I heard that he was touring with that band, and I was like, "Fuck this! I'm not really a fan of Alice Cooper, even at the time. You know, I thought it was a little schmaltzy, but I heard that that was the band for the tour. I was like, fuck it. I don't care if he, you know, has like, you know, dancers in like Black Widow outfits, like doing creative jazz tap on the stage. I get to see fucking Hunter and Wagner, man. It's like, that's what it's all about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was about the music.
Well, that's all well and good, but first album? Please.
They still
want
it.
Come on, God. Do it.
All right. How about the first album that was ever given to me? That's because that's even further back. No, I'm not going to.
But
I
want to
know.
We want
to know what
you're
embarrassed
about. You went to the store
about.
And you went, I want that one. The one with Donnie and Marie on the front.
Nope.
That's the one I want.
Nope. Nope. I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So I realize we've had this conversation a bunch of times. The first CD I ever bought was the Batman Forever soundtrack.
Mm. Oh, dear.
So that's a bad one.
Yeah,
but it's not
bad.
The first album I ever bought because I bought cassettes for like 7 years before.
But
that,
you
right?
forget that yeah. Seal, Kiss from a Rose is on that
right?
album.
It's true.
Okay.
Wow. Come on.
I've been watching Shameless, and that song has a whole new meaning to me these days.
It's okay.
So
all right, we can all be honest here.
So my first album that I ever bought was Aerosmith's Greatest Hits.
Mm.
And the second album was Green Day Dookie. Not as good.
You had to.
Yeah, you had to. Yeah. Child of the 90s, you had
yeah.
to have that tape.
That was kind of
required. That and
probably, yeah.
Offspring, Self Esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Self Esteem.
Sponge Wax Ecstatic.
Sponge Wax Ecstatic.
I think I got three of those still.
Yeah, Jeremy,
yeah,
you're up.
AC/DC, that was a
which
huge
album?
Thing.
The album?
The first one I think that was actually given to me was Who Made Who? Which was just like the soundtrack, kind of a conglomeration of songs for that, whatever that movie, Stephen King movie. And,
I don't even know what you're talking
about. Was it Maximum
movie.
Overdrive
oh,
or something?
Fuck.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, yeah, Stephen
I
King.
I forgot
yeah.
they did the.
Yeah. They did
that. That was the movie where the cars come
yeah.
to life and
it's
kill
like,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
with fucking
like
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
That H-wheel with the green goblin
yeah.
face.
Yeah, oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best album I bought, though, was Van Halen, Women and Children first. That was,
oh, that was your first?
That was the first, like, cassette.
All right.
The first CD I remember, too, was Black Crow was their first album.
Okay.
Shake Your Money Maker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first CD I bought.
That was another one that you kind of had.
I was
way
a
better
Black
than
Crows
mine.
Fan. I love the Black Crows back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I still, like, their first couple albums are.
Yeah, the first couple albums are. Yeah.
Southern Harmony.
Yeah.
Music
yeah,
Companion,
that's a great
killer album.
Yeah.
I wasn't huge on that. My first was Pearl Jam 10. So
yeah.
That's
God damn it.
That's pretty good.
Fucking
yeah.
asshole.
My first concert was Tom Petty. 1994.
My first concert was Aerosmith.
Or 95.
I saw Petty five times, and I'm actually
Holy
going to
shit.
See them again, I think.
I've never seen
Aren't
them.
They
oh,
playing
no,
like Mountain Jam or something?
Mountain Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're,
yeah.
Playing, a,
yeah.
they're playing a show yeah. down
I did hear that.
Downtown, more Long Island area. I forget exactly where,
it's
honestly.
It's a good band. It's always been a good band.
Oh, the guitar player in that band's another.
He's yeah, a yeah. great player.
Great player.
And when they
Mike,
first started,
Mike
he,
Campbell,
looked a,
right?
he looked a little,
yeah.
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 yeah. And he Mike looked Campbell? A little bit like Brian May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That curly,
yeah.
the curly locks.
Yeah.
My wife and I saw him, she's a massive Tom Petty fan. We saw them a couple years ago, and I was thinking the same thing, like, mm-hmm. he still looks a little like Brian May.
The last
just
I
the
saw...
grammar is important moment because you made it sound like your wife was massive and she was a Tom Petty.
She's
fan.
Massive.
And the Tom Petty. Fan.
Have you ever seen Petty What's Man. Eating what? Gilbert Grape?
Oh, no. I actually the last
she
time,
fucking murdered me.
The last time I saw Tom Petty, I, last
she
time
doesn't
I saw
listen,
Tom
it's
Petty,
fine.
I got fucking trashed. It was at Madison Square Garden. And,
well, you might as well get trashed because you can't see anything.
Well, the seats we had were like the stage. We were on the side of the stage, and we were all the way up the top. And one of the concession stands was right behind us, and we were going back to that concession.
That's how
we
got
pretty
drunk.
Much, you'd turn around, really, and get more beer. We
yeah.
actually got buybacks.
What,
we were 12, going there so much.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's pretty
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got trashed. I don't even really remember going home. I remember American Girl.
Barely remember driving home that night.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I had experience like that. Liam and I, my son, and I went to see Tool. We were finally going to get to see, go see Tool.
God damn it.
And it was at
yeah.
the... Well, what,
I think you'll get another
what,
chance.
What used to be the Meadowlands.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And... we were literally at the top.
You just lean your head against the concrete.
I could reach up and touch that fucking blown-in insulation. I was at the back at the roof, and it was like
fucking girder in front of your face.
Yeah. No. But it was like we were behind Maynard. You know, we're behind Maynard.
So the worst seats
face.
That you could
worst
get.
Seats. Yeah. You couldn't even see like the backdrops. You couldn't see what was projected on the backdrop.
Those are called they're called the blue collar seats.
Oh my God, it was horrible, and it was like so high up, and that room sucks. I mean, yeah. come on, it's so big, it sucks. You got to be in front of the speakers. We're behind the speakers. We're behind the band. We're at the top of the thing. The only thing we could do was like get high, and then the problem was the beer was like
there was nothing we could do but get high. There was no other option.
There was no other option. We're so high up, and but then it was like
start eating each
well,
other.
Right. Well,
kill your fucking Sherpa and eat him.
And the problem was once we're high, those steps were so steep. It's like I can't get another. I can't. You know, I tried to go
you
down
go
to
down
get
like,
beer,
no,
and
you
I got
go
half.
Like a toddler
down.
On your butt.
I was like, I'm too high. I can't do it. Liam,
you didn't think it's gonna roll down the steps?
Liam,
over
you gotta
the,
go.
Over
you
the
gotta
side.
Go, man. I can't.
Did you mention your first concert?
No, I didn't do a first concert. I'm trying to think what was the first. I know Allman Brothers was in the '90s. Was one of the first ones my uncle brought me to.
Still Dickie Betts time.
Yes.
Boo.
I have a pretty funny first concert.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
The first concert I ever went to, my uncle was in the Impalas, and he was playing Six Flags with Sha-na-na.
Oh, Sha-na-na.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was backstage and everything.
Oh, wow.
Bring
cool.
on Sha-na-na.
Yeah. And,
with Bowser?
Yeah, Bowser. I got his autograph. I still have it on a Great Adventure shirt.
Oh, my God.
I had, like, a visitor patch, and it's written on there. It's all
he's
on
got
the
it framed. He just pulls it out of his pocket.
Check this out, Ellen.
I've never heard that story before.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah, yeah. It was really really cool experience, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really cool. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun show, too. But the first show ever was like, I wanted to go to this show was actually Metallica at NASA Coliseum.
Oh, yeah?
Which tour?
It was the Black Album, actually.
Oh,
it was the first show. The first. I think they played like...
When they first started tour?
Yeah, it was like December 29th, 91.
Yeah.
It was actually the date. I still remember. I remember being blown away, too, because, you know...
I saw them when they came back around after a couple of years because they were touring so
I think
long.
I saw them like four times.
I saw them
with Danzig
at the Orange County Fairgrounds.
You know what?
And they tore the fucking place apart.
The last time I was at Jones Beach was with it was Danzig, Metallica, and Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Suicidal Tendencies was touring the Lights, Camera, Revolution album.
Yeah.
That
was a nuts.
They blew everybody away,
crazy.
Man.
Wow.
Metallica was too. They were so loud, you could barely hear anything.
Yeah. They blew my eardrum up. I had an ear infection when I went, but my eardrum actually like ruptured during the middle of the show.
They opened up.
Sounds like you're a pussy. Yeah. Okay.
A little caveat on that. If everyone will take their headphones off and he plays some music, you'll be able to hear it upstairs coming out of his fucking headphones. he would make fun of me for wearing earplugs at shows. But my volume's on 2, and his is all the way up, and it's not loud enough.
It's up to 11.
Oh, Jesus.
I need to feel
you
it.
You had to do it. You had
to feel
do
it. Right here.
In the cockles.
I need to feel that bass drum and that fucking...
That's fine. You
that
can still you
right
can
here.
Still feel that and protect your hearing.
I used to wear earplugs,
like
but I do
for
now.
Me,
I,
yeah,
I
for
wear
me, I wear them. I wear them until the headliner comes on. And then if my ears are going to be ringing tomorrow, it's going to be for Clutch, not their fucking 3 openers that I don't give a shit about. You know?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
That, and I leave a Clutch.
I've heard Clutch's songs before. I haven't heard
but
Monstro
I leave King. I leave a Clutch show, and my ears are fine. Corrosion of Conformity, when they opened for Clutch.
Woo-wee. And
it was so loud. I didn't have earplugs with me. I had to beg the bouncer to let me go out to the car to get my earplugs because I couldn't take it.
Quick aside, that was the 1980s Corrosion of Conformity too. Yeah. That opened for him.
Very
it was
different.
Just Mike, it was just Mike Reed and Woody. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah.
Mike's just going. Oh, it's a scream.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, my voice is kind of hurt. I'm like, no one can tell, bro.
You're doing fine.
Yeah, that was
just
a very, very different show. Very different show.
It sounded better, though.
Was that that was when we saw him in Jersey?
Starland.
I went and saw Corrosion of Conformity down at Webster Hall, and was it like 2 years ago, I guess,
With or without Pepper?
It was with Pepper. He just got back with them, and they were touring the Blind album.
Oh, wow.
And they were only playing the Blind album because they had the singer from that album that's only on that album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at the end of the the show, he's like, all right, who out there knows how to play bass? And my friend that I was with starts screaming and yelling, like, hey, you can play metal bass, this fucking guy right here. So next thing you know, I got up on stage with Corrosion Conformity. And I fucking played a song. Like, I was there.
That's awesome.
They showed me how to play
the
song.
Fuck
yeah,
out of here.
I swear. And of course, I'm with the one person I know who doesn't have a cell phone, so there's no fucking evidence of it, but I swear to you. Yeah, I was up there. And
what song? Do you remember?
It was some random punk song. I can't remember the name of it. And they showed me how to play the song. I'm like, all right, it's cool. You know, and I'm talking to, you know, Reed and Pepper's to my left. I'm like, wow, this is pretty crazy. How you doing? He's like, yeah, doing great. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to follow you guys' lead, all right? He's like, sounds good. The drummer's like, oh, you all ready? I'm like, yeah, I'm all ready. I'm like, who starts this one? And Pepper goes, you do. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he starts laughing at me. And yeah, I just started fucking playing the song. And it was pretty cool. It was an amazing experience, I got to say.
That's fucking
my
sick.
Friend was like jumping around all over the place. Good thing I didn't give him my phone, or else he probably would have lost it.
He tried to tell this story on stage when we opened for Corrosion, and somebody said, shut up and play some more song.
That's probably me.
And then my friend really
probably that
beat
fucking
the shit out of that guy. He like threatened his
beat
life.
Up.
It's probably that douchebag with
oh
the red
God.
Beard.
We had a whole thing. There was this guy. There was this dude. He was just like trying to trip people. Like,
oh,
thought it was funny.
We came in, like I said, we came in right as you guys were starting. Like, we came in, put my back against the bar, and all of a sudden, you guys started walking out.
Sunkiller.
I was like, oh, shit, okay, cool.
Played,
and
we walked out too quick, too. We came on stage too soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they're like, you're not supposed to be on stage.
Well, wanted an extra 10 minutes. As we're like, you know, you guys are playing, I'm watching, this kid is standing next to me, and he keeps, as people are walking by, he's leaning against the bar, he's like a couple people down from me. Every time somebody goes by, he sticks out his foot,
Jesus.
Tries to trip people. And they look, you know, most of the people looked and went, oh, man, I'm sorry, and he'd, say something. Like, you could tell he was looking for a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this one kid walks by, and I'm see now I'm hip to what's going on, so I'm watching who's coming this way and seeing what he's doing. He's picking everybody who's smaller than him.
Right, of course, yeah.
You know, a little chubby or whatever the hell, and he's picking those guys. This one guy comes, and he's short, super short guy. But I'm looking at him, and I'm like, oh, this fucker looks like he might be a problem. I want to see if this guy trips. Sure enough, he goes to trip him because he's a small guy. This guy, he stops dead in front of the guy's foot, and he looks at him, and he just gets in on him. Like, what are you fucking doing, motherfucker? Da, da, da. The kid just turns around. Redbeard, I was calling him.
Yeah.
Turns around. It's like this in front of the bar. Guy's in his ear, like spitting into his fucking ear canal.
And good. And Ryan, meanwhile, is like, dude, there's about to be a fight over here.
I'm like, get your camera.
And I'm just like chugging. I'm just chugging beers. Yeah. Just chugging. Oh, really?
He's like, Pabst or $2.
That was a different show. That was a different show. So, no, I was drinking Sierra Nevada that night.
So
I remember.
I see this kid. Night goes on. I don't see him again, but I saw a bouncer there, and I was just like, "Hey, man."
Didn't you know him?
Yeah, I knew the guy. Yeah. I was like, "Hey, man, just so you know, keep an eye on that motherfucker over there because he just wants to start a problem." And then in the pit later on during Corrosion, this girl was just pitting, doing her thing, and he just fucking yanked her down right to the fucking ground.
I think I remember seeing that part when the.
And Jesus. My the buddy, there. The bouncer, we jumps up, watching, light so. Points. He's just like, I'm going to fuck you up. My buddy's, he's a big dude. He's a big, scary guy. And he's just like, fuck, I saw you, motherfucker. And just ruined the kid's night, which is great.
Yeah.
Because, but like, it was a weird show. Mm-hmm.
That's just somebody who's just trying to deal with something. Like, could be his sexuality, could be he wanted to just wail on somebody.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted. He wanted
start playing the drums.
He wanted someone to start a fight with him that he could definitely kick the shit out of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he could say, this dude fucking stepped and I beat the shit out of him.
Like in Fight Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know somebody who...
not like in Fight Club at all.
I know somebody, he's a really big dude and he likes to go in the pit, but he likes to wait a little while and see if there's any punks that go in there and just try to swing and act like a real asshole.
That fucking windmill shit.
Yeah, yeah. Or like wait for people to come toward him and then smash him to the ground and stuff like that. And then he just hones in on that person and just pummels him in the pit.
Yeah. I used to be that guy.
I got into an Kennedy. Argument with a guy on...
Sean Kennedy?
Argument with a guy.
We only have 80 listeners or so, but his last names? somebody could search him out on social media and, you know.
I got into an argument with a kid on a forum. This is when I was young, so now I know better.
Yeah, it was in a chat room.
It was in the Hudson Valley Scene was the name of the forum.
Yeah.
And I belonged to the forum because I was just curious about bands, local bands and everything. That's when we were playing. And I got into an argument with this kid. The difference between just like a friendly neighborhood pit where you're just like, you know, just fucking forearms.
Yeah, pushing each other around.
Just pushing and shoving and having a good old time. And this fucking windmill spin kick shit that I just came up on. I don't know if it was around for a while, but all of a sudden, just one day, I just started noticing it.
If you can wind up, you're doing it wrong. Like, that's really what it is. I mean, if somebody's swinging around to the point that there's a clearing, an area in the pit, it's not correct. That's not how it works.
There's nothing about it to just, do with it correct starts, and not. I want to hear from the punker, you know?
I think it all started with the crossover.
What do you mean?
When the metalheads started going in. Because that you never saw that at punk shows.
He was just like, pushing and shoving and just raging out, right?
It was just a gentler time.
Yeah.
A gentle little mosh. You know, when the whole mosh thing came out. Yeah. You know, with S.O.D.
Slam dancing.
Yeah. And then it was the... Cross.
It was, yeah,
that
was just
oh,
that,
what
that
freaking not the like, straight edge thing.
No, that was silly.
I saw it more on like death metal shows too.
Yeah, and I think I remember more S.O.D. was like you know with the Anthrax guys and Billy Milano and that whole mosh thing, you know, and then you know the metalheads got into it. But yes, you're right. I think it's like then it got heavier and heavier. Now all of a sudden it's at every show. I mean, I used. Went and saw Motorhead, and we, you know, you bang your head.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Stand there and you look like you're just fucking.
Yeah, you just you want to look like you're there. Yeah, you want to look like you're not having a good time.
You know, there was none of that. There was no slam dancing. I remember going to see Motorhead at the Chance, and I'm like, there's people slam dancing now to this stuff. It's kind of silly, you know, and you know, punching and.
Yeah.
It was none of that.
Yeah, there should be no like no just, closed fists.
It's just a waste
no winding
of
up and
time.
Hitting people. Yeah.
You know, at the old Ritz, Webster Hall now, but the old Ritz, you know, all the punk rock shows were all guys, all the guys that worked the stage were all the guys from the bands, like Jimmy, you know, Gestapo and Ray Bees from Warzone, mm-hmm. and you had Big Charlie and, you know, all these guys. So they all kind of, you know, took care of you.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just from there, just, you know, when you start getting people up there that want to hurt people, then. Now you got a whole nother. You know, we used to. I remember going to see the Cro-Mags at GBH and the Wall of Death.
Yes.
You know, they. I mean, it was. But you know what? Nobody was.
The Wall of Death is that when they divide the crowd.
It just smash in. Push everybody back. Everybody pushes back, and then you wait for those people to come wandering through, and then the Wall of Death comes back. Just takes you out, man.
Oh look, the front row's cleared up.
That's mean. Yeah. I would absolutely fall for that. Like 100%. I would absolutely be up there. I'd be up there with like a $2,000 DSLR trying to take a picture and then just get pummeled.
Yeah. My shoe.
The last time we saw Clutch in this, I remember I was in the pit with my like very expensive camera, and I hear a dude behind me go, "Who the fuck would bring that camera into the pit?"
Oh, no.
And I just turned around and looked at him, and then just went back. I got amazing shots, though. It came out great.
Clutch shows, like, you do find the bands. There's bands out there that, you know, they're the crowd, the fans know what the score is. You go, Clutch is like that. You go down, 3-4 people just stop. Yeah. Help you up.
Yeah, they all have like back to work. Sweet beards and a nice flannel and a Clutch tattoo, and they just pick you up off the floor and they go, "Are you okay?
When I saw Red Fang, it was like that recently. Everyone's just pushing off each other and people went down, they got picked right back up.
Fun.
Nothing
too
crazy.
It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. I saw an opening band for them actually really impressed me. They're called Whores. They were really good.
Whores?
It's a band called Whores.
They're called Whores. Okay. They're a really cool band.
That's good for them.
They were three piece, and they sound like 12 people on a stage, man. They were like, that's huge sound.
For three guys, they put out a lot of sound?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd say?
Yes.
Whores.
Whores. They're a bunch of whores.
Write that down. I want to look them up. What are they like?
You want me to just write whores right
picture,
here?
Just write whores, parentheses, band.
It's like whores with a period, whatever. But they're like just big, loud noise, metal rock, and the guy's vocals are clear. He has like fairly clean vocals.
Okay.
You know? It's like a heavier version of like the Deftones, you know, more groove pocket.
Oh my god,
fucking love Deftones, man.
So you probably dig these guys.
One of my favorites.
I'm a fan.
Just the way that you exclaimed how you were excited about that.
I love the Deftones,
but it's not. Yeah, it's like they're like a harder version of the Deftones.
I almost felt the Dark Crystal come for a second.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Gelfling? Yeah,
Gelfling. Holy shit. My wife introduced me to that fucking movie.
That's like my favorite
She's
movie.
Just like, we can turn this off if it's too scary. And I went, it's puppets. Halfway through, I'm like, what? Is this a kid's show?
When that one emperor dies, he's like, ah! He's like, Jesus, what the hell's going on here?
Skeksis. The Chamberlain.
Quit your whimpering.
I've seen the movie, but didn't get that involved. I don't remember that movie.
Honestly, I love that movie. Something about it. I just love the whole world Jim Henson created. It's pretty intense.
I was in Washington, D.C. on a build. Build and maintain radio stations. For my company, they send me away sometimes. Not so much anymore, but I was in D.C. And my wife took the train down, and we met there on the weekend when we were off. I had already seen everything. I went out with one of the other guys on the job, and I saw the White House, saw all this shit. So I went, while I was working, she'd go out, see all the stuff I already saw, and then we went to the museum, and they had a Jim Henson exhibit.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking fantastic. And that was like, it was almost emotional. I know it sounds kind of like, I don't know, douchey, right now, but it was because like I grew. That's what I grew up with. You know?
Yeah.
Jim Henson was my shit. I watched all his stuff. Oh God, you know.
Emmett Otter's Doug Band Christmas.
Yeah. Fucking Labyrinth.
Yeah.
All that stuff. You just and then seeing how and why he created everything is. It was a real treat.
You have a rock band in your.
I don't care.
We're talking about Muppets.
Yeah.
Listen,
you know, I
listen to Peter Gabriel too. So I have a softer side.
When I was with my thrash metal band.
Fan of Genesis. Don't tell anybody. Peter Gabriel's Genesis. I was
Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
Made me cry.
Back in New York City.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's what I want to cover. That's what I want to cover.
Oh, that
if
would
you
be
guys
awesome.
Cover Back in New York City
without
I'll with, buy everything you ever put with, out.
But without
promise,
the without
swear.
The without the as I cut up the pot, well, you pine. Without that section, I don't. You know, it's not so heavy, but
maybe you can make a like a guitar
yeah, maybe
part
you could just
it.
Have it. Yeah, like just do that cadence. You know, on a guitar, not sing it.
Any of you guys play synth? We'll do a little synth part.
We can now
or a Hammond B or something.
I got a little Mellotron vibe going on.
Oh, there you go.
But you know, we want to keep it heavy. Keep it heavy.
Yeah.
It's all about keeping.
So,
it.
So Let's Go Champ on Instagram wants to know when we're going to talk about Seven Dust.
Oh, you guys want to talk about Seven Dust?
Or no? He said, "When are they coming in? Do you think we're going to have him as a guest?"
The
we're
same,
not
the same guy
yet.
Who thought that
he
this
wants,
was
he
this...
wants a giant dildo shoved somewhere.
Yeah, that's the same guy who thought this was a dildo wants us to talk about Seven Dust.
Very underrated band.
You like him?
I do.
I'm a huge fan of Seven Dust.
He has a killer voice.
Yeah, LeJean.
Yeah.
There you go, Tony. Happy. There you go, Seven Dust. Check.
So I really don't know who Let's Go Champ is.
It's Tony.
It is Tony.
Yeah.
No, because she's Tony. Oh, Tony Vera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you said a last name. You said you weren't supposed to say last names.
Fine.
He deserves to get trolled.
But anyway, Tony, knitting his medal from
Hudson Valley Legends.
Checked in. She said she checked you guys out. You have a great Mastodon/. Black Sabbath vibe.
Okay.
Love it.
Cool. I'll take it.
Bring forth the metal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and she is Knitting Is Metal on Instagram.
Knitting, you know, knitting can be metal.
Yeah.
Especially when you do it with chain mail.
Yeah, can... Tony, if you're listening...
I mean, that's not really knitting.
Can you knit me a chain mail hat?
There is a different term for that.
You're right.
I don't know what it is,
smithing.
But I know that
making tiny little rings.
Yeah.
She I don't know if you guys are into podcasts, if some of you are into podcasts.
They didn't even
listen
to this one.
Hudson Valley Legends. Write that shit. I bet you will though.
That's right.
Hudson Valley Legends. If you get a chance to listen to them, they are pretty cool. It's mostly like urban legends for the strictly from the Hudson Valley and just kind of like occult stuff too. It's really
Pine Bush aliens
occult stuff.
Yeah.
Very much metal. Talk about Letchworth Village where the insane asylum was
and,
the Leather Man was a good
episode.
Stone Caverns and Stone Caverns in Kent. Wild, man. Get it.
Check it out.
Dark Side has a podcast, too, but they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, they just keep copying us.
Tell us how you really feel.
No, we kid.
Sort of.
Yeah. I don't know.
But you cannot get your album at Dark Side Records.
No, it's
so
true.
I complained.
Did we try to put it there?
No. I don't think so.
You should. You definitely should.
You should go, Doug, and scare them into carrying, because you have a Henry Rollins type vibe to you.
That's a compliment, though. I wish that I was a little more like Henry.
You know,
Rollins.
I think
your eyebrows aren't as bushy, look as mad.
He's like a cross. Yeah.
Henry.
They will definitely stock your out. I mean,
Have you guys seen shows there?
Dark Side. They have shows there.
You know where the Kmart is on 44 in Poughkeepsie?
Yeah.
this is how he was.
They just moved. They just moved.
Yeah, it's near there.
We don't have any records, I don't think. Do we?
We don't have any vinyl yet.
They carry CDs. But they do CDs and all that too. So
we were supposed to have a vinyl release for the.
You got to reach the hipsters.
I know.
I'm such a hipster.
And we actually did a contract with a second little label, No Slip, to do the vinyl. But they, you know, when you're dealing with these little, tiny little companies, everything's dependent on the previous release. So if one thing's running behind schedule, then another thing's running behind schedule, and another thing's running behind schedule, and you know, I mean,
we're running behind schedule.
I mean, our record, you know, our vinyl could come out, you know, in 2018 or something if we wait for the contract to be fulfilled, you know.
Yeah, and they were talking about on their podcast. Most vinyl is still pressed on like 60-year-old equipment.
Yeah,
it's like there's one company just started making new pressing equipment in the last year, and no one's made it in almost 60 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, people are getting back into it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. We had those guys on the show, and I'm a digital guy. Like I was on board because I started going to school when digital was taking over and analog was falling away.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, yeah, fuck analog. It's too expensive. It's a pain in the ass. Pro Tools all the way. Mm-hmm. And they actually kind of flipped me a little bit. I still have yet to buy a new album with a new record player and all that stuff.
It's a big investment. I mean, like you can buy like a $200 setup to play a record,
sure. Yeah.
And you can play that record, but it's not going to sound better than a CD because you didn't spend $1,000 on your setup.
Well,
you know,
I mean, it's like
I love vinyl.
The reality is we were all sold. We were sold. You know, not it wasn't digital to begin with. It was just like we were sold the death of vinyl.
Yeah.
This is historically accurate. I mean, you can kind of figure it out. I mean, you can look at
the death of vinyl.
Because what they did, they started making cheaper and cheaper vinyl. It got less grams. They changed the rules so that albums could be longer. I mean, in general,
absolutely. I mean, I have albums that are. The funny thing is, like albums that I bought brand new, like well after a person my age at that time shouldn't have been buying vinyl, but I was like into it, and you know, like my first vinyl record was Pearl Jam Yield, which came out in like 1999. Mm-hmm. That was the first record I ever bought, but I had all my dad's old stuff.
They were one of the few bands that still pressed records.
I think I have three copies of Fleetwood Mac Rumors, and they're all garbage because they're so thin. They're all fucking wobbly.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of where that all started, with just like low gram records.
Yep.
And you put it in a stack for 2 days, and it's a wobbly piece of shit now.
Yeah.
And they start, you know, you'd put a needle on it once, and unless you had a $400 cartridge, the second time you play it, there's a skip on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that shitty. And that was manipulation on the part of the industry as a whole.
Yeah,
they wanted people to stop listening to vinyl. Mm. Not only just to go to digital, because they had the stopgap already built in. Mm. They built in the cassette market. Cassettes were always just something you played in your fucking car.
Yeah.
Nobody, I mean, you know, and you could buy cassette recorders very cheaply.
Yeah, to transfer all it.
To tape your podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to like, you know, tape shit off the radio all the time.
It was not called a podcast at that point.
No, I was saying you could do it now. But we should.
Let's just go analog. Let's throw the whole thing out the window.
In fact, what
you
should do.
Analog.
That makes my palms itchy.
People need to come to your house and pick up a copy of the show every week.
Let's do this.
Or we could do like we could do
box.
No, we could do a thing like a mail order thing.
There you go.
Where they pay, and then we just keep sending it to them whether they want it or fucking not.
Well, right, Columbia Records and Tapes. You can't get out of the contract.
You just can't get out of it. Your dad's got to call and yell at him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you that's, just or you just get a cheap that. You get a cheap cassette deck and you put it in record, but you just have like a loop tape in it, but it's to run the show. Oh Jesus. It's to it's,
how dare you?
It's Mississippi.
Who is it? Anybody good?
No, it was my girlfriend.
Well, we can put her on if you'd like.
Let's not do that.
It's amazing what the speaker, the quality of the speaker phones on these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I've been collecting vinyl for a long time, and like it's amazing to see how the price of it has gone up. Yeah,
it's crazy.
10, 15 years.
I refuse to buy vinyl. It's nuts. $25. I will not buy something for $25.
Yeah, yeah, and
I just on the principle.
Clutch.
That I used to get it at $7.99.
Yeah, Clutch. Yeah. Clutch came out with a special edition vinyl for a thing, and it's like a, it's like a compilation, and there's one song on there that I don't have that you cannot digitally download. Yeah. You can't get it anywhere but on this, and it's $26 fucking dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
One song.
I was like, I'm not paying $26 for one song. I'm gonna do it someday, but it's gonna be in years, and the same two copies of that record have been sitting in Darkside for almost a year now because no one will do it.
Is that like Pink Album?
Yep.
I know. I've looked at it myself, and then I saw the price. It's like, fuck this.
Yeah, for one song, I'm not doing that.
Not balls.
Yeah, that makes me so mad. It makes me want to. It makes me want to buy the album, rip it to an MP3, and release it for free on the internet, and say, and email Clutch, and say, don't do this. This is your punishment.
You're bad.
Yeah,
you're
stop
bad.
Stop it.
Jesus.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that. I love Clutch too much. I wouldn't do that.
Balls.
Well, I would say that balls. We've reached the end
the
of
crescendo.
Our time
tonight. The crescendo.
Our apex. Sorry. I don't know.
See you
Did
later.
You have any more?
Hello, my darling. Hello, my baby.
Hello, my ragtime gal.
Tell us another story, Earl.
Come on, Earl.
They're very interesting.
I got a million of them.
Well, see you next week. Hopefully, they'll have us back.
Guys, this, you were a pleasure having.
Thanks.
This is fantastic.
Thank you.
We're not bullshitting you when we say we really enjoy your fucking band. And I think you guys are great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
And if you think we're lying, that sticker has been there for a really long time.
Yeah.
I did notice that.
The Pink Floyd sticker?
Yeah, because Pink Floyd's a really great band.
Nice. Homer's,
we think
Homer's
so
running toward him, too.
Homer and Shadow Witch.
Nice. Well, he's after that ass there. That's Homer.
So, yeah, we are legit fans. Love the album. Can't wait for more.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it, my friend.
Where can we get a physical copy of your album, not from iTunes?
For the one that I was going to bring you along with two t-shirts.
At your girl's house.
At my house.
I'm so sad right now.
Fucking
so
singers.
Sad.
Rhino Records.
You know, why did they let
Rhino
the
record.
Singer
yeah,
hold
Rhino
the merch?
Rhino Records.
Yeah,
Rhino Records.
Rhino Records right. In New Paltz.
In New Paltz.
Cool, cool.
There's copies
there. There's four copies there.
I will head over there.
Please buy them.
I will do that.
Nice.
Definitely reach out to the Dark Side guys because they will certainly stock your stuff.
Awesome.
They have like a local music section and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So great guys, great store. Definitely reach out to them.
Yeah, it's an awesome place. I buy a lot of my vinyl.
I would appreciate it if you gave us those t-shirts.
Yes.
I wear them every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually about to get some new shirts.
We got some new ones coming.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to be smoking.
Yeah, y'all.
So when we get some t-shirts for our show, we will give you guys t-shirts in return.
We can trade.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So we got one medium over here.
I'm like an XL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Large right. Husky.
A large husky. I am a large husky.
Roomy.
Sounds good.
I fluctuate between XL and XL tall.
You're a big fat person.
That's my friend's like, I'm a medium husky. I'm like, you're a large medium husky.
All right. Whatever you say.
And you guys are going to be playing The Anchor in Kingston on Friday, March 31st for Hudson Valley Psych Fest. With
fuck yeah.
Ecstatic Vision Innes? Is
it, that his It's name? Not night, it's space.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yes. Man, and they're awesome. They're some of
good
our
dudes.
Local...
If you want to have an interesting evening,
yeah.
Talk to Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
No, absolutely.
They're in another system there. They're good guys. No, awesome guys.
It's not Night, it's Space.
Yeah, it's right. United Space.
And you think I'm political.
And also, and the creme de la creme, shit kill.
Yes.
We don't know anything about these guys.
I want those guys. So how'd you come up with the name?
Indeed, is there any significance behind the name shit kill?
They don't like shit.
We're going to kill it.
Yeah, you guys... Fantastic, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
We're putting a bunch of shows together.
We do have one more thing we need to do.
Yes.
We have to pick a title for the show.
Oh.
So,
all show long, Adam has been compiling a list of titles.
Gotcha.
Of things.
I wondered what he was doing.
You said.
So let me list them through.
Yes.
And then we'll all collectively decide. So we're going to start with Sometimes I Want to Punch Babies in the Face. Then we have I Drank My Per Capita of Budweiser. Shooting in the Sink.
Yikes.
Nipples or Get the Fuck Out. Alice Cooper Jazz Tap. We Were Sold the Death of Vinyl. Or... Tell Us Another Story, Earl.
This is a really hard choice.
Yes, yes.
So if I were to just put my vote on it,
yes.
I'm going to go with Nipples or Get the Fuck Out and Tell Us Another Story, Earl.
I like the Nipples or Get the Fuck Out.
Anybody else?
I like Nipples, too.
Well, everybody likes nipples.
I do.
I mean, that's
that's a great
way
to
see. I think that one might be better. Everybody likes nipples.
Someone sees the word nipples, and they're going to want to hear about what the hell are they talking about.
But I actually liked. I think it was the first one you said. But
Sometimes I Want to Punch Babies.
Oh
in
no,
the
it
face.
Wasn't. No, what was the second one?
I don't know.
I drank my per capita of Budweiser.
Hey, it wasn't that one either. What was the third one?
Shooting in the Sink.
No, that wasn't it.
I thought it was the. That was the first one.
No, it wasn't that one. No, it wasn't that one.
So we're more than halfway through the list.
I know.
What is it? The Alice Cooper Jazz Hands.
Alice Cooper Jazz.
Alice
Cooper Jazz Tap.
I kind of like that one. Just kind of gets everything in there.
I think Tell Us Another Story, Earl, is
I like that one as well.
It embodies the episode.
Yeah, it embodies the whole theme of the episode.
So I think I'm on board with Tell Us Another Story, Earl.
Oh, dear.
What do you guys think?
I'm good with that. Since I said it.
It works. It works for me.
You good? It's either that or nipples. I'm going
to
make the executive decision.
How about
tell us another story about nipples.
There. That's a good one.
So I'm gonna highlight both of these, and then when Ryan uploads the episode, he can make the decision.
Yeah, I think I'm going to
have a surprise.
I'm going to have to hashtag Alice Cooper Jazz Tap. Just throw that out there. Just so maybe somebody will get on board with that one. But yeah, again, guys, thanks. Shadow Witch, they're on Facebook, facebook.com, shadowwitch.band. That's too bad.
I think it's a Shadow Witch Band.
Shadow Witch Band.
.com.
No, I think there's a
.com.
There's a dot in there. Shadow Witch Band. Shadowwitch.band. Facebook.com, shadowwitch.band.
Oh, that's the Facebook.
Oh, that's Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
You better fix that shit, guys.
They just assigned that shit.
And also to...
But go to Bandcamp and buy the record.
I was
going
to say, shadowwitch.bandcamp.com, buy the record.
It's pay what you like.
If you're fans of Black Sabbath and Caius and Mastodon, I think you guys said Red Fang. I highly suggest
And Early Genesis.
What?
Early Genesis, the Mamas and the Papas, Donnie and Marie Osmond.
And Sha-na-na.
Sha-na-na,
man.
Let's not forget about plugging our fellow podcasts in the area.
So we mentioned Hudson Valley Legends. Make sure you download them. Beyond Pod, Stitcher, iTunes, they're there. Dark Side Records podcast, even though they're not that good. also, Hacksaw Frequency. Check them out on YouTube. They're a nerdy gamer gamer podcast, buddies from high school doing their thing.
Cool.
Hudson Valley Transmitter, pick up their first anniversary issue. It's out now. Local coffee houses and whatnot.
It's for free. Check out their podcast as well.
And they have a podcast. They interview local artists and everything like that. And we will be on their variety show March 14th. That's a Tuesday.
Hello, my baby. Something. Hello, my honey.
You guys are invited too. It's free. Yeah. So cool. And
oh,
it's free
is good.
And it's at a ram. It's at a ramen noodle bar. So bring your appetite as well as your sense of humor.
Are you going to be able to eat anything?
Soba noodles and vermicelli. I'm good on.
He's got the celiacs.
Sorry. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers, right?
Yes.
We didn't play any
that
of their music.
Everything.
Oh, we can't.
Yeah, we'll get booted for it probably.
Right, we would have played your music. However, if we did, we'd get booted from YouTube. I literally I've had guy JB yeah. from Darkseid, his band Dead Empires was sitting where you were sitting, Earl, and I played his music, and we got a copyright. We didn't get from YouTube. We didn't get kicked off because they're kind of like, you know, they're a local act, so they don't have big backing. So they basically took away our monetization. So I mean, that's not such a big deal, but I don't know what you know. You guys might kick us off completely. No, that's happened before.
We have no contract with YouTube at all.
It's not YouTube. It's your whatever label you might be on or anything.
We have no label. We are currently on no label. That's right, folks. We are currently
play some music then on the
no
way out. Let's
label.
Go.
Hold on a second.
Our contract is up.
Tell us a story, Earl. Label.
That's right. Tell us a story,
Ryan,
Earl.
Let's,
record.
Let's start our own record label right now.
Like Alice Cooper Jazz.
We can do it.
Dead Radio Productions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Fuck your
list. Our label tonight.
What are you doing?
I'm finding their music.
All right, I gotta pee. We gotta go.
He's tired of this loop.
I want now. I yeah. I'm
I like
sick of this
loop,
shit.
Though.
I don't want
like
to hear
the loop.
Fucking yeah. stuff.
It's Ryan's music. He made
is that right?
Yeah.
This is very nice.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
GarageBand is a beautiful thing. It lets me do all the stuff I want to do. All right. If you guys had to choose a song that represents Shadow Witch as a whole off of the Sun Killer album in stores now.
Yeah, I say just play the whole song and end it at that. That way the people listening
I
want
to know what they want me to play.
Well, yeah, I know, song? But I'm saying
say
like we'll be done. You play
wreckage?
The whole song.
Dave says wreckage.
It's nice. It's heavy. It's whatever. It's a nice
whatever.
I mean, that does make sense to play the title track.
Everybody wants wreckage, so here you go.
All right.
All right, until next time, kids. Shadow Witch, thank you guys. Man.
Bye, thank you.
Great show, fun. Bye bye. A little darling, wanna take you all the places gold can't buy. Different games, different stations, changing tracks and expectations, falling in